Hello, and welcome back to Laundry Day, the podcast where I talk to you for the duration of my wash cycle, and then I'm forced to change my laundry over to the dryer and repeat. Feel free to sit back, grab your own pile of laundry, and really just get ahead of your treacherous schedule. This week, I'm feeling more relaxed. I feel like we're at that stage in our relationship where I can really start showing you my true colors. Let's talk politics. I'm kidding. I would never cancel myself this early. I have money to make. However, I do think it's fair game to talk about President Joe Biden falling down a few weeks ago. Why is this not getting more coverage? He fell not once, but three times. I want to laugh, but at the same time, I want to start accusing someone of elderly abuse for letting this man be on camera so much. I assure you this podcast will not still be going, or at least not be on camera, when I start to trip up the stairs. Joe, I'm here for you. If you want to hire me or start booking your press appearances, I will not book anything with stairs. I love old people. Moving on to something less controversial, I think. Can we please talk about new relationships? We all have that one dear friend who's in a new relationship and they immediately think that they're a veteran of the sport. They hit you with that, our relationship is so strong. We really have the teamwork thing down. I'm sorry, babe, but if you and your boyfriend don't want to shove each other's head in your expensive Cuisinart juicer, you just aren't there yet. Or they start really playing up their comfortability with their month-long boyfriend by saying things like, We burp in front of each other and he's so annoying. Like, I feel like we've known each other for so long. I'm sorry, that's cute. But I put my husband's dirty underwear up to my face to smell, so if I know if it's clean or needs to be washed. If you aren't doing the old sniff and repeat, we cannot be talking about this. We cannot. I mean, I literally have mysterious body problems and have had to have my husband pull out his non-existing MD and check out what I've got going on down there. My favorite is when they start playing up how they love his mom, who they met over FaceTime after six margaritas. Until your mother-in-law has rearranged your entire Tupperware cabinet, stayed at your house for 2 weeks, and driven you to the vet because you couldn't see past your tears over your own dog that you're obsessed with, you don't love Melissa. I love his mom. You don't love her. My favorite part is when my friend's in a new dating relationship and they start giving unsolicited marital advice. Ma'am, I'm married to this man, stuck with him, vowed to him. And you think your cute argument on whether what Chinese place you're ordering tonight is going to help me? I'm sorry. I know better than to get so opinionated on here. I'm sorry. I had to read this part to my mom to get a good gauge. I'm going to be honest with you. I have to read a lot of things like this to my mom, but I had to read this part to her to get a good gauge on how offensive I sound. And I've come up with a scale. You're free to use this scale. It's on a scale of one to Drew's sensitive, anxious Christian mom. How offensive do I sound? She actually gave that a zero. She gave that bit a zero on the level of offense. So don't let me down in the reviews, you guys. Moving on, I've been wanting to share this list with someone and you're here. So here it is. I read this on Best Life and I just find these things interesting. Here they are. Humans are the only species who enjoy spicy food. Yeah, it's true. It was on the internet, so it's true. I'm a huge fan of spicy food, which doesn't go well with the previous noted IBS symptoms I've talked about before. But yeah, humans are the only species who enjoy spicy food, I guess. Unless you're my dog, because my dog will eat it, pretty much anything. Humans are the only species whose brains shrink. Yeah, you can go ahead and add this to my list of your rational fears. We've talked about my irrational fears in the past. Put this on it. Our brains shrink and we're the only ones. Why? There should have been a why on this list. Next one. Potato chips cause more weight gain than any other food. This one just really hurt. But it does make sense. This checks out. I've tested this theory. Dogs can smell cancer. This is the one that like shocked me the most. But dogs can smell cancer. There have been reported dogs, my earring is hurting, my brain's just leaking out loud, but there have been reports of dogs actually smelling their owner's cancer. Next one, fish is almost always labeled wrong. This is so gross. That salmon is probably not salmon. Researchers estimate that about one-third of all fish sold in restaurants and grocery stores is mislabeled, often to deliberately mislead consumers and get them to buy more expensive fish. getting tilapia while paying for red snapper prices. Snapper was found to be mislabeled 87% of the time. Tuna was mislabeled 59%. It's far too common an occurrence to be a fluke. I don't know why I read it in that voice, but that's my reader voice. This fact really bothers me because the smell of fish is already so hard to mentally get around, and then not knowing what that fish is, like, it's too much. It's too much. Speaking of fish and the fish market, you know, classic fish market talk, I did just watch the documentary Seaspiracy. I know a lot of people have been watching it, posting about it. Okay, I lied a little. I watched part of it. I fell asleep. My husband watched the whole thing, and I forgot to ask him for like the summary of what it's about. But what I gathered along the whole way, I'm sorry. Like it's a well done documentary. I totally recommend watching it for sure because it definitely gives you a new perspective. But here's my issue with documentaries like this: it gives you something horrible, like, oh my gosh, the fishing industry is so bad, like they're the reasons dolphins are dying and whatever. And then it goes to tell you, so you would think the answer to that is I need to look for dolphin safe whatever. Well, things that are labeled dolphin safe, then they bust that theory open, and it actually doesn't mean it's dolphin safe because there's no proof that it didn't kill a bunch of dolphins to get the tuna or whatever. So they give you yet another problem. Then they say the only way really to solve that is to not support these industries. Okay, so what? So you stop eating fish. But if you stop eating fish, that it's technically pretty much impossible to like just shut these industries down by stopping eating fish. Like not everyone's going to get behind it. But let's say that you do. If you start cutting out all these industries, because they talk about it, it's not just the fishing industry. Like a bunch of these they're horrible. All the meat industries. Okay, so fine, you cut out all meat. But then if you look at vegetable industries, they're working humans in an inhumane way a lot of the time. And so you cut out vegetable. Then you end up what? Eating air? Like you eat air, that's it. Bottled water industry, bad. Like, so this is my issue with these documentaries. They list all of these problems with no solution. Like the solution is the awareness, which is great. And there needs to be more awareness around this type of thing. But it just leaves you feeling so crappy while also knowing there's nothing you can really do. So anyway, but tell me on my social media if there was like a better ending. Like I said, I forgot to ask my husband. Maybe there was like a light at the end of the tunnel, but to me, these documentaries never have a light. It's just bust open the thing and then now you feel bad. but they tell you there's no solution. Weird. It's time for a little Q&A. Well, usually it would be time for a little Q&A, but I have not announced this podcast yet. So get over on my TikTok because that's where I'm going to be hosting these little Q&A portions and ask me your many wondered questions. English is not going into my brain today. I don't know what's going on. I wanted to talk about Prince Philip when I wrote this script. Sadly, he just passed away. He was 99, so it wasn't necessarily a shocking death or anything like that. In fact, it was so unshocking that there was this trend going around leading up to his death, and I wanted to talk about it. It's lighthearted. It's really funny, but I don't want to insult anyone now that he actually passed away. The TikTok trend was this: people would post things that they would have sent would have sent him over the rainbow bridge, like things that would have just knocked this guy down, like things that would have sent him into his death. And it's just a joke. It was lighthearted and it was actually really funny. I don't know if you've seen photos of him, Google him, or I'll put one on the YouTube channel, but he was looking a little purple leading up to his death. I mean, he was really not looking so hot. He was 99. Like, you gotta like give the guy a break. Like he was 99. He lived a really long life. So anyway, the trend is this, and people would list out things that like would knock him out if he were to come into contact with them. So these are like some of the ones that I put on my list. Again, you know, I'm not being insensitive. I had this before he passed away, and it was a sweet trend. Maybe think of it just like things that would knock out a 99-year-old. Someone said a Listerine strip, just a single Listerine strip, a shot of Fireball, the smell of hand sanitizer, just one smell, just unfiltered water. I don't know. Someone said it. Single pepper flake, the pepper flakes you put on your pizza, just a single one. A camera flash. Like these, I mean, this is funny. It's funny if you have this kind of sense of humor. Chipotle. You know what? Chipotle knocks me. It knocks me in my gut. it knocks me in my gut. I am a huge Chipotle fan, and I just got one near my house, like literally a mile away. So don't look up houses a mile away from every Chipotle. But I just got a Chipotle, and I am like the biggest, like this is not sponsored. I wish it was. I'm a big Chipotle supporter, but I will say like I love the red hot sauce, and I do spend a lot of the time in the bathroom due to Chipotle. All right, I'm done. I can't keep going with that list. But I thought that was a silly kind of funny trend on TikTok. On to the real segment that will ultimately get me canceled, dirty laundry. I'm going to try to keep just giving you the news without my opinion so I don't get canceled yet. Like I said on my last, like I said last time, I'd like to like, I want to be a billionaire and then you can cancel me. That's fine. Family vloggers. This has come up for the past couple years now. People are not happy with family vloggers. Before I get into why, let's list a few of the big ones. We have at, I guess, the top, the Ace family. And then you have the LeBrant fam and a bunch more. I'm not super familiar with these, so you'll have to do maybe your own digging to find out all of these people. Google says the Ace family's net worth is well over $18 million. That actually sounds super low to me. What do they do for a living? They capture their life on camera. Seems harmless, right? Like if you have an interesting life and can monetize it, then do it. But a lot of influencers in general have been caught staging their life to make it, to make better content, which I suppose isn't that dark until you add your children into the mix. The theory is that these kids are taught by their parents how to act out a better life and fabricate things from such a young age that they have a harder time adjusting into being good adults. A lot of these vloggers vlog everything, including their children's meltdowns, the birth of their kids, along with staged and unstaged pranks. So I tend to agree there does need to be boundaries. I for sure wouldn't want to go home to my parents and have a camera and script on me at all times. The next issue is that a lot of people have is with the abundance of riches that these families push. I won't say their names, but there's a specific family that dresses their small children in Gucci backpacks, designer shorts, just for like playing outside. You almost never see them without a designer logo in the frame. Now, I'm a Gucci girl myself. I am a Gucci girl, so no hate to that. But they tend to use their wealth as clickbait, knowing their demographic is young kids watching, because these are family channels. So you can click approved for children. Like it's a family channel. They post things like my new $10 million house, or surprising my wife with a Lamborghini, or giving my kid a giant playhouse worth $4 billion. Just clickbaity things that have to do with their wealth or money. And in the thumbnail, it's all this money stuff that a lot of the time the video doesn't even really have to do with. But they list things that have the price so that people will click it. A lot of people don't like that these families build their audience off of relatability, then they change their brand to such unrelatable things while still trying to act relatable. They also don't like that they get so much of their wealth from using their children to then use to they use their children to then use a young impressionable audience. So they're using their children to in turn use children to make money, in a lot of people's opinion. What are your thoughts on family vlogging? I'm curious what you guys think. Do you watch family vloggers? It is fun. It's fun family content. There's a whole other side where people think this is great. Like this is, it's so great that a family can all do it together and they're whatever. What's your opinion? What's your opinion on that? Because I am super interested. And I, like I said, I'm not completely familiar with a lot of these families. I do know that the LeBrant fam has a pretty great rapport. And so I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think? Moving on, let's bring on our guest of the week. I'm so excited. We are bringing on my friend John Lindahl. Everybody, I introduced him before, but I am sitting here with John Lindahl, my friend, the legend, the greatest. John is an esteemed singer. Don't mess me up, John. John is an esteemed singer, songwriter, performer, and dancer signed to Bobby Boy Records and Def Jam. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's
correct.
Right.
Info. Recently collaborating with artist Pia Mia. John, I saw that. That was great. I call it recent, but it was on your holiday album, right?
No, but that was my most recent, aside from like the December release. That was like the most recent release. So that totally makes sense for sure.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you. Speaking of your holiday album, then we'll move on to some other awesome work you've been doing. But okay, you said you worked on it all summer. So were, by the time Christmas came around, were you sick of Christmas, or do you love Christmas that much? I need to know. I wanted to know.
I was sad because my favorite holiday is Halloween, actually. And so I kind of, through a Halloween, I was promoting all Christmas stuff and Christmas is awesome, but that was the main thing that was kind of a bummer. But I will say it was Christmas since like June for me, because that's all I was doing was making that holiday album, and that was coming off the album that I had spent like 3 years cultivating and putting together. Well, in total it was like 4 or 5. I played that for you at Daniel's house when I was mixing that, remember, like the opening night album. And so
yeah, I've had the pleasure of hearing a lot of your music before it comes out. I'm so like, I feel so special that I'm one of the people that you show your music to, but
always
I love it. I love it because then when your album comes out, I already know it. Like, I seem like your biggest, best fan. Like, I memorized it overnight, but really, I was listening to it before.
I'm glad because I really respect your opinion musically. So when I play you stuff, I'm also not going to play you stuff that I don't think is really great. And that I want you to hear it in its full form. And so, like, that's why I really take the time before I play you things, because I don't want you to be like, oh, like this seems odd for him, but
this
yeah,
is so crap, I'm, John. Yeah. It's crap.
No, exactly. You might say that. And so the whole, yeah, like that, I was mainly just really tired. I think that's what I've been feeling recently. I mean, I'm still working all the time, but just, I felt creatively tired after doing that album, the opening night album, which was like my entire mm-hmm. life story up to here. And then immediately going into a self-produced arranged, my buddy Daniel mixed it, produced all this crap. I did that all by myself in my room. And then I just felt really like drained after all that. But I'm really grateful for the experience, and I'll always look back on it and be so happy that I did it. And it was a very big character building experience, to be honest with you.
Well, good. So, okay. How do you feel, speaking of just your career and everything? Well, first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, John and I met years ago, probably a decade ago, when we were teenagers. We were both on the show The X Factor. Yeah, Rev.
Yeah,
Rev.
Yeah.
Do we Rev it?
Yeah.
I've shared a little about my experience competing on the show, but we were both, how old were you? You were 15 and I was 14, maybe?
I was 14 going into it, and then I ended, I was 15. When I ended, I was 15. So I was like right on the edge of those ages.
We were the baby. I mean, we were babies, and that's where our friendship all started. It's a bit of a trauma bond, if you will.
No, definitely. And there are a lot of things actually about the show that I don't remember, which is funny.
Me too, yet. John. Yeah. I wrote in for this segment that I wanted to tell like some stories from like our friendship growing up, and I was like, holy cow, I don't remember a lot from that time. I don't remember, like, I have family members who are like, we came to the show, we had dinner with you guys afterward.
Someone told me the other day. I didn't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
Dude, it's nowhere in my brain. Like, a lot of that experience is nowhere in my brain. So if you have any stories that you remember, feel free to share, but I have not.
Well, actually, I wore this sweater because of a story, because the best time to wear a striped sweater
is all the time. You're skipping ahead. My last question for you, my surprise question, was going to be a very serious one. And it's okay if you don't want to answer, but when is the best time to wear a striped sweater? That was going to be my question.
The best time to wear a striped sweater is all the time. One with a collar, turtleneck. I was going to wear a turtleneck too, but I didn't. That's the kind. Because when you're wearing. Anyway, so I wore this because of that. Because I remember, okay, one story from X Factor. That was probably really long. You can probably keep all that, though. I'll probably put that on my Instagram. Just that whole section.
Well, yeah, that's the whole promo.
That's the promo, 1,000%. And I think the memory that I have is, I remember a lot of the times whenever we'd rehearse songs all week, and then at the end of the week, this is the only thing I really remember, mainly because my mom told me, but I do remember the part when we sang. And I remember we would watch each other kind of from the live studio audience, and then sometimes we'd all be on stage together, even if, because you were in a separate act from me, obviously, you were a solo artist. And I remember, I think, I don't know who started it, maybe, I think it was you, or it was me, but we were singing that song all the time. And I think you started it. And I think I might have started it because there's no way they were giving some random kid an intensity a microphone. Mm-hmm. So Drew started singing it, and I took someone, and she was like on stage, like mid, like we were going through like tech rehearsals. So like
Simon Cowell was there.
Yeah, no, it was really serious. Like I don't think anyone should have been saying anything. And Drew was literally just started singing like the best time to wear a striped sweater. And then I went and grabbed someone's microphone, and I was like, it's all the time. And I think more people started singing it, and it just became like a little chorus of Striped Sweater. And if you knew, you knew. And if you didn't, you didn't.
Okay. I have a game. I got a little game for us, John. I've been wanting to play this game with a guest, and you're the guest. You're the guest of all guests. So the game we're going to play, we always play a different game, by the way. But since you're a musician, we're going to play Fill in the Lyric, early 2000s edition.
Oh, God. I'm scared. I feel like you know more like popular music than I do. I'm scared.
No, this is the early 2000s edition, John. I know you've got this. You've got this. Oh, it's God. Just going to be early 2000s songs.
Okay. Geez. I'm scared. Let's go, though. But I'll try. I don't want to let you down. Let's do it.
You're not gonna let me down. You've got this.
That's my biggest fear in life, just letting people down. So I gotta do it. Gotta pull up.
Got to. All right. Song number one. I'm gonna sing the first line. And like once I stop, John, you gotta fill it in. Didn't there used to be a TV show that had like a concept like this?
Whatever. Yeah, I think there's actually a web series with Jacob Collier that does this too. Like, oh no, that's like you have to like song association. They give you a word and you have to.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. I think that's really cool.
I do that sometimes on my live streams. Okay, but John, don't distract me. We're going into song number one.
Yeah.
Here it is. Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you.
What song is that? I have no idea.
Oh my God, John, this is like one of the biggest songs of all times. So let me keep going. In everything you do, yeah, they were all...
Dude, I don't know.
John,
I told you.
Yellow by Coldplay, John. Yellow by Coldplay.
Oh, I honestly only know a few songs. But I really like only know a few songs by heart by Coldplay. I'm sorry, Chris Martin. I'm sorry.
Martin, he's watching this. I actually had him. I told him we were gonna do this episode, and so he's watching. Chris Martin, I am really sorry about this.
He's in your closet right now, just like on the laundry day closet, just upset.
So this is awkward because my special guest is Chris Martin.
It's like, oh God, that would be terrible. No, I told you sometimes like with lyrics, I'm bad, but let's try it again.
All right,
see if I can get a few.
Next one. Baby, can't you see I'm calling a guy like you to wear a...
This is toxic, isn't it? This is toxic. Calling a guy like you to wear a... I don't know what the lyric is. I know it's toxic, but I told you I'm bad at this.
Song, though. Okay, wait, that's even harder. I think it's sometimes it's harder to guess the name of the song than just the next lyric. So, a guy like you should wear a warning.
It's dangerous.
I'm falling. John! Early 2000s!
You know what it is? It's because my mind, when I listen to music, it immediately goes to melody and production first. Like, that's where my brain goes. So if I can get some of these lyrics, then I'll be excited. Because normally this is not my... But this is good. Let's keep going. This is a good test for me.
You have to get this next one. All right. You tell me that you need me,
then you go and cut me down. Wait. Tell me that you're sorry. Think I'm out of breath. And say...
Dude, okay, some of those were questionable lyrics.
Oh no,
I
got the next line, but the rest of the lyrics, nah. But the next line I got for sure. Then you go and cut me down, but wait, had that on lock.
This one isn't really a lyric, the next one, but I know you'll know what song. I don't even know you anymore, John, because I thought you would know those first songs. Coldplay, I thought you knew. But anyway, all right, here we go. It's just a run. Like, you have to know it. Oh no!
Oh, you got it bad, Justin.
Oh no! No 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 no. Yeah, that's all.
Or whatever he does.
Yes, I knew you would know that just from that.
Oh yeah, the run. See, runs. That's melody. I got that on lock, like for sure. But like lyrics, sometimes I'm bad. I'm so bad.
Oh my gosh. Okay, the next one. Okay, maybe you'll know this. You have to know this one. John, don't let me down. All right. We only said goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her.
Dude, I don't know what this is. It's not Taylor Swift off her new album, off her old album, isn't it? It's not. I don't know it. Dude, I'm telling you, I don't know popular
music. Let me give
music.
You another song from the artist that you know. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Oh, it's freaking Amy Winehouse and freaking it's not Back to Black. Is I Go Back to Black the first time?
Back to Black.
Sorry, I need. You know what I need? I need the ominous music in the background. That's how I can tell.
I bet you if I played these songs to you, yeah, you would get it. Maybe it's me, John.
Oh God.
Next song. Uh-huh, that's my shit.
All the girls stompy feet like this. Few times I've been around that track, but it's not just gonna happen like that, cause I ain't no hollaback girl. Delaney used to love that song, and I used to hate that song. And what's really funny is now I actually like it because the production goes so hard. Like wah, wah. Like that little swelling synth in the hook is so fire. And now I like it, which is funny.
Delaney's John's sister. She was just ahead of you on the trend, man.
She really was.
Next one. Hey there, Delilah.
What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but you still look so pretty. Yes, you do. But like, you still look so pretty. Yes, you do, or something like that.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad we kept going because I know you don't just. I don't want people to think, oh man, this guy doesn't know any songs. Like, no, I know you know it all. And you guys, now that you know that John is. He listens to melody. You have to go listen to his music because the melodies that you do, and it's not just in the vocals. John does every part of his music. He puts together like insane production. Just it's so beyond. Like it's beyond. There could be a film about you. Like it just what you do is so crazy in the studio.
Thank
so
you.
Go listen to John's music if you have it because you'll seriously now that you know how melody driven he is, you will just die.
After seeing how bad I am at lyrics, now like go listen to his music.
Okay, no, yeah. Literally, like, John, no, John, I didn't know you'd fail. Okay, but I'm going to end on this song because I know you know this one. You would not believe your eyes.
10 billion fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. It's drams, slip, for sleep and dreams. It's slip. And dreams is drams and then what is it? Yeah, no, I don't know. I love like breaking that down.
I should have thrown some Green Day in here. And
I was gonna just,
what you just did.
Oh yeah, because I'm thinking like, what is it? Do you have the time to listen to me whine about other than everything? All
God, God. But I have a question in my list of questions I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
So we talked earlier about since we've known each other so long, I've always wondered I've always wondered what your answer would be to this because I wonder if it's similar to mine. But if there was one thing that you could have told your former self, what would it be? Now that you've had all this success and you've released music that you're truly in love with and so proud of, what would you tell your former self?
Chill the f*** out. Okay, no. Okay, honestly, what I would tell myself would probably just be, I think that I am so blindly optimistic about my career and becoming what I want to become that I put a lot of pressure on every single thing that I do. And that's not to say that to not take the same amount of care and time in doing so. It's more just like, I expected everything on opening night. I expected that album to win like a Grammy, like right away. I expected that to do all these things. I can manifest those things, but expecting it to do those things is actually for me personally, really detrimental to my emotional health because then I start doubting myself and getting discouraged. I would rather just put the same amount of time that I'm going to put in there, know that it's deserving of any and all praise that it will receive, but putting monetary, no, it was never monetary success. It was putting material success, having that be attached in my brain to what the work is pretty, it can be detrimental when it doesn't work out. So I would say probably to just try to separate that a little bit more, not to shoot for that, but just, don't expect that, like expect greatness when you make your work and it'll always be great. But, sometimes it takes people a second to even find what you're doing, or it, you know, sometimes it takes a little time. Like even Lizzo, she blew up off of songs that were released like 3 years prior. So just, I can't put immediate parameters on what that is going to mean for me. You know what I mean? Cause then it makes me stress out and then that's not good. What's 100%. Yours?
Oh, if I were to tell my former self something, probably also to chill the fuck out.
But
I think mine is always enjoy the process more, because I pretty much probably most of the last decade enjoyed nothing. Even things that I was supposed to enjoy or those around me were enjoying, I was always looking so much farther forward that I was in constant disappointment. Like nothing added up enough. It was never enough. So mine would just be to enjoy yourself where you're at, because you're never going to be at that place again. You're never going to get this day back. You're never going to get that moment back. And all my first times, like all the things that I got to do for the first time, my first photo shoot, my first studio session, my first big song, like I never enjoyed those firsts, and you don't get another first.
Yeah, so. You don't. Yeah, I agree. That I feel like that encompasses that. What you said also encompasses what I said too, in a more broad way. So I'm glad that you said that too, because I would encourage anyone that's trying to pursue something watching this to do the same thing, because it's so easy to get caught up in your aspirations and wanting what you want at this time and creating a timeline and following that timeline. But if you do that, then it's going to just really mar your perception of when you do achieve something that you earned. So to anyone who's watching and who's trying to achieve something right now, I would just say focus so hard on just the work, because that really is like the journey. That is the reward, is just being able to say that you did that and just putting the time and hours that you'll be able to tell people about later.
Yeah.
And the respect and the love will come with just the work that you put in. It'll happen. Just that, I don't know. That's just a random little PSA for people.
Yeah, random PSA. We love random PSA. I love it, John. I have something to show you, because I brag. I want to brag about like being there for you through all of your eras, because I've loved them all. I'm the John's biggest fan. Like I'm his biggest fan. And if you're watching this, you're going to see I brought my merch.
Yeah.
I brought my John Lindahl merch.
Yes.
I would have worn it, but I didn't think of it till after I didn't wash my hair and put the bun.
No.
But I am John's biggest fan. Do you have merch right now? Do you have new merch? Can I get it?
I do. You know what's funny is I think it sold out. But what I want to do is I want to restock it, but I also might want to do like a restock merch like for like a one-time only, like one night only show for opening night. So I might do like some exclusive stuff there and do like a whole show whenever everything opens up again. But so right now I think my merch store is empty because we bought everything out, but like, because my fans are awesome, but I should
okay,
do
so
more stuff.
Where can we follow you in anticipation of future music, future merch, all of that? Tell me where we can follow you, find you, all that.
First of all, thank you for always thinking of me to come on stuff like this. Like you, Drew always is very thoughtful and always like includes me in stuff and is so awesome. And I always want to work with Drew for the rest of my life. But anyway, so you can find, but not a self-promotion. You can find me. There's my Instagram is at John D. Lindahl, JohnDLindahl. Twitter is the same thing, just without the D in the middle. That's my middle initial. And
it's a D for Drew. Yeah, John Drew Lindahl.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's D for my biggest fan. No, but then also my YouTube is just John Lindahl, and my website I think is just johnlindahlofficial.com. I'm pretty sure that's literally what it is. So yeah.
All right, so he's John Lindahl everywhere. John's big enough that if you just type in John and then L, it comes up. I've
what?
Looked you up a lot of
no
times.
No way.
Yeah.
It does.
Yes.
That?
Yes, even on TikTok, I found you like that. Like, yeah, you can find John just by typing that in.
Cool.
You're verified. Like, John, you're a celebrity. You're literally,
it's,
yes.
No, it's. I think it's because when I type my name up, I'll see, like, John Lindell, like, L-I-N-D-E-L-L.
Not John
like
Lindell.
Yeah, yeah. No, oh, yeah, no, that. No, I think that's because also my computer, you know how it like, matches your search history and stuff like that, and so, like,
well, your
before.
Computer doesn't think you're looking yourself up. So it's like trying to give you that's John Lindell.
That's a really
shout out
good
to you, John Lindell.
John Lindell was good.
We just want to give you a little shout out.
That's a really good confidence booster. Thank you. I actually didn't know that. I've never looked myself up on a computer other than my own or even on my own like phone. So that's actually really cool. Thank you for that. And no, but it's cool.
You are so welcome, John. Anytime. I'm willing to do whatever to stay as your biggest fan in your fan club. Thank you, John, so much for joining me here on Laundry Day. I know you have a busy schedule, so I'm going to let you go. I'm looking forward to having you back and comparing where you're at in your journey in maybe like a year or so, maybe earlier. But I'm really looking forward to comparing your journey. All right, let's call me after this and we can start discussing.
Sorry, I get so excited when Drew, and I basically like forced Drew to do albums, right? I'm just like forcing you to do it. I'm like, do an album.
Okay, I'll do an album.
but Drew's biggest fan. Drew's my biggest fan. I'm also her biggest fan too. And all I want to do is see her succeed. And I think that her voice is going to be the voice of the generation, even more so than Brennan from Step Brothers. So the songbird of you could be the songbird of the our generation, even more so than Brennan from Step Brothers.
I mean, that's a big compliment. And you know what? Hopefully, I can have a bigger impact than SpongeBob, because then we've come full circle, and that's when you've made it.
Sorry, but just I'm just gonna put this in front of the whole thing.
The best time to wear a striped sweater is all the time.
Promo.
Why with a collar turtleneck? That's the time.
Take the last part.
'Cause when you wear it, that one special sweater.
Oh my god, SpongeBob is just that's actually another thing. Final thing that I will say
final
on this
thought.
Show. Final thing. I was rewatching SpongeBob and I really think that sometimes as human beings we get in our own head. I just did it before and I was like, oh really, you think that, you know, I'll say this. SpongeBob was always the fry cook at Bikini Bottom, even though he was the best fry cook at Bikini Bottom, because he never thought that he was better. No, he let people tell him that he wasn't that good or that he didn't believe in himself enough. So I really think that if SpongeBob just believed in himself more, he could have been like, I don't know, the best fry cook in the world. And he just kind of sat there and was just like, no, like this guy's better than me. And that's so detrimental. So if you guys do that, if you guys ever look at yourself and you're like, oh no, I'm not good enough at this, just stop that. Just stop. You're the greatest. You can do it. Because if you think it, then the work will follow and you'll be able to figure it out. I promise.
Not you making an emotional speech about SpongeBob. Dude, this is the end of this podcast.
No, it's real. I watched it and I almost teared up. I was like, why doesn't he believe in himself? Like, I believe in SpongeBob. Why doesn't he believe in him? It was really sad. Anyway.
Nerd John. Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I will chat with you soon about the album. And I'm so, so excited for your music and just to watch you continue to flourish. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Love you. You're the best. Tell Dylan I said hi. And I want to meet Yachty.
Yachty. Little Yachty. All right. Bye, John.
Later.
John is such a sweetheart. I'm so glad you guys got to meet him here on my podcast. But now that we're alone, it's time for the random fact of the day. The reason you're truly here. Armadillo shells are bulletproof. That's the fact. Armadillo shells are bulletproof. In fact, a Texas man was hospitalized after a bullet ricocheted off the armadillo's shell and hit him in the jaw. I swear. I read this. The internet is always telling the truth. So one of my friends is going to do a photo shoot and video shoot with a huge A-list rapper. And I was prepping him mentally for the strange occurrence that could happen, where because they're on your mind so much leading up to the meeting, you might accidentally get the urge to hum or sing one of their songs. Like when you're bent over changing out your SD card or something, you're like humming their song right in front of them. So we decided it's important to listen to someone else's catchy song before the shoot to avoid that strange interaction. So anyway, if you're ever like going to be around a celebrity, just listen to my song to get that stuck in your head, and also to promote me to the big celeb. No, I'm just kidding. The things my anxiety just brings to light. By the way, if you happen to struggle with anxiety, I have a few things that have helped me mitigate mine a bit. I tell people all the time that I have anxiety, and a lot of people don't believe me because I put on such a good act. I have horrible social anxiety. Terrible. Every time I'm about to go see someone, I am like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Yeah. The worst. I have the worst anxiety of anyone I know. But here's a little tip. Try cutting out most gluten and dairy. Dairy really upsets my stomach and causes my body to react a little bit more like it would if I had butterflies or I was nervous. And that sends me into kind of an anxious spiral. And then gluten, I've noticed that gluten kind of it makes me feel depressed. You don't know it until you cut it out and then all of a sudden you add it back in. And I felt horrible the second I added it back in. Of course, gluten is really hard to cut out of your diet and it can be expensive, but I just try to cut it out for the most part, or you know, at least cutting out like a lot of bread, which I'm such a bread person. So ordering something without the bread, or just switching some of your things to gluten-free, like gluten-free tortillas or whatever you like. I like to end my segments with a heartwarming story from one of the friendly faces that are you. So this is a friendly face from my Instagram. If you guys want to send me in a heartwarming story into my DMs are open, and I would love to include your heartwarming story in my next episode. This one is from Eliza. She said, I was 6 years old and had stayed home from school because I had the flu. My grandparents lived with us at the time, and my grandma went out to feed the horses when one of them spooked and kicked her in the stomach. Oh my gosh. She broke a few ribs and broke her arm. She walked all the way back to the house and drove me to my neighbor's to drop me off while her and my grandpa went to the hospital. Oh my gosh. Once she was better, me and my little sister dressed up as superheroes and visited her and everyone on their floor. That is so cute. I remember watching her thinking she wasn't the same. And she, oh my gosh, she lists like some of what happened. She said, I'm so glad she made a full recovery and still has a love for riding horses. She's the strongest woman I know. That is so cute that you all dressed as superheroes. Those are memories that you will have forever. I love that. And I'm sure everyone in the hospital was so, so blessed by that experience. Love that. Love spreading positivity. Thank you guys so much for joining me on Laundry Day. Please, please leave a review. The reviews help me trick the algorithm into thinking I am the biggest, baddest podcast out there. So please, please leave a review. Say something sweet. 5-star, of course. It has to be 5-star review. And don't forget to click subscribe so you're notified when my next episode comes out. I'm going to be having so many more incredible guests who are, I'm so lucky to know them and to get to talk to them. So please leave a review, subscribe, and go on my social media. Go on TikTok if you want to be a part of the Q&A next week. And go on my Instagram if you want to send me in a heartwarming story. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to do one nice thing for one person and make the world a better place, as I always say. I will see y'all next time.